Okay, well, good morning, everyone. It's so good to see everyone this morning. So full of life and energy. Praise the Lord. Today, if you don't mind, get your Bibles and let's turn to the book of Ephesians once again. We're going to continue with where we left off last Sunday. We thank God for this study that we have begun in regards to the book of Ephesians. I believe one of Paul's like the book of Romans is one of his best, especially in explaining who we are in Christ Jesus. And so there's many abundant truths in this book, many things that are doctrinal, things that impact our lives and our growth, our understanding concerning our Christian faith and who we are in it. It's not just to give us a head knowledge about the things of God, but it's to help us to understand who we are in the things of God. And so the book of Ephesians is a powerful, powerful epistle. And so we want to continue our study. Let's pray and then we'll begin. Lord, we ask in the name of Jesus, the name above all names, that you would be here this morning, here in our midst. I pray for your presence to be here manifest in a very special way. I ask for your Holy Spirit to enlighten our minds, to give us understanding concerning this important book. And I pray that, Lord, where the things are hard to be understood, that you would make them understandable to our hearts, our spirit, in Jesus' name. Bless our study, we pray. And we ask, Lord, as always, that you and you alone would be glorified here. And so we give you this time in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen and amen. We mentioned already that the Apostle Paul wrote the book of Ephesus while a prisoner in Rome. While he was on his third missionary journey, a desire developed within his heart to raise an offering for the saints that were in Jerusalem. The saints, and I'm talking about some of them, were Jews, his own countrymen. And they were facing some difficult times during that time. And so Paul had the desire to raise an offering for those that were having a hard time. And there's nothing wrong with that. Amen? Amen. There are times in our own lives when we're in need. And thank God when there's a sensitivity to the Holy Spirit. And the church helps to meet the need of those that are in need. Amen? Amen. And so the Apostle Paul was raising an offering as he traveled from church to church, and he was getting this offering. You can read about it in 1st and 2nd Corinthians. Eventually, he would get there to Jerusalem to give this offering, but while there, the Apostle Paul would be taken captive, would be taken prisoner because of a misunderstanding. Many of his own Jewish brethren, those that were Pharisees like he once was, misunderstanding Paul's proclamation of grace, misunderstanding the message of the gospel, got Paul and said that he was doing wrong towards his Jewish faith, and eventually he was about to be torn in two as the mad people were about to tear him apart. One of these Roman generals intervened, thank God, and Paul was eventually taken prisoner to a particular place for a couple years. Eventually, he would appeal to Caesar and end up going to Rome. While in Rome, the Apostle Paul would, of course, here's a picture of Ephesus right here. It's on this side of Asia Minor. Asia Minor would be like this, and here's the town of Ephesus. Ephesus, as we mentioned last time, was one of the seven churches. And sadly, today there's really no any major remains of that church. It's predominantly Muslim there today. Anyways, the Apostle Paul would eventually end up in Rome, and while in Rome, a prisoner under house arrest, a desire would develop in his heart to write down and write letters to many different churches. They were known as the prison epistles. The prison epistles are Philemon, which is a short epistle, only one chapter long. Then there is the book of Colossians and Ephesians. Those two epistles are known as Paul's twin epistles because of their similarities. They're very similar. You can almost take these two and go back and forth to glean from what Paul was teaching us concerning the truths of who we are in Christ, and then Paul's epistle of joy, the epistle to the Philippians, were all written while Paul was under house arrest. Even though Paul was under house arrest, a prisoner in Rome, what's interesting about it is that Paul's relationship with God was unhindered. I'm thankful to God that even though we can be one day misunderstood and even persecuted for our faith, that our relationship with God should be one that is constantly growing. Amen? It shouldn't die out. There is so much to God that there is so much to grow into and learn that our relationship with God should be ever increasing, should be ever growing. There should be a greater desire now for God than there was back years ago or months ago. Amen? Because the more we know God and the more we love Him, that desire will burn within our hearts. And that's what I love about Paul. That even though he had been preaching for over 25 years, that his love for God had not grown cold or callous. Instead, it was more vibrant now while he was under house arrest than it was even previously. And you can see the overabundance of his revelation coming out in this very book that we are now studying. He wrote this book with the theme of Christ and the church, meaning the importance of us understanding who we are as the church in Christ, and then understanding who we are as the church and how we are to live as Christians. Ephesians chapter 1 through 3. Well, let me finish with this. The date of writing around AD 62. But there's two sections. First, how we are redeemed by God. Those first three chapters teach you and me and remind us of the truths of who we are in Christ. It brings us face to face with who we are in Christ. It's like Paul holds up a mirror to the church in Ephesus and says, "This is who you are in Christ," and wants them to see and understand who they are. But then secondly, the last three chapters speak on how we as the redeemed are to live. Now, the last time we were talking, we began to go into Ephesus, or Ephesians chapter 1. We went through verses 1 through 3. Let's read those again just to bring and refresh our minds as to what it said. It said, "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints who are at Ephesus and the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." The last time we brought out how Paul was an apostle of God, called to be one. It was not Paul's choosing. God called him to be an apostle. Amen. It wasn't a career choice. The ministry is never a career choice. But as you seek God with all of your heart, God will begin to separate you unto Himself, and He will call you, amen, some of us into the fivefold ministry. That means an apostle, a prophet, amen, an evangelist, a pastor, or a teacher. Those are the fivefold callings of God in regards to ministerial work. Now, that doesn't mean that those are the only callings of God. Some of us have gifts of the Spirit, gifts of ministry in regards to gifts of helps. Some of us are gifted to love. Some of us are given gifts of hospitality. Amen. Amen. That we're able to let people into our lives, our homes, and we're friendly. Amen. That's a good thing. Not all of us are that way. But a hospitable person is just loves people in their home and they're kind and they're inviting them to lunch and dinner and it's all a good thing. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord for those kind. Amen. But they balance those of us that are not maybe that way, maybe a little bit more private. Is it wrong to be private? Mm-hmm. Not necessarily. Amen? But we need to be able to work with the body. Sometimes the private people need to be with the hospitable people. Amen? Yeah. Amen. We all have a part to play. Anyways, Paul was called to be an apostle, and he said to the saints, I love that because you, as a child of God, are a saint. It's not something you're going to be, it's who you are in Christ. And Paul said to the saints, thank God he said that, at Ephesus, and the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Last week we read verses 3 through 14. As I mentioned before, those verses in the Greek are like one big train, one big flow of thought from Paul. He really didn't make any pauses there. When you read it through the Greek, there aren't pauses, except for there between 10, verses 10 and 11, there's a slight pause in the Greek language. Now remember, I think Brother Gary brought this out when he taught, that the Bible originally didn't have verses. Amen. They were originally just letters written with paragraphs. They didn't have the verses, Numbers 1 through 10 or what have you. It didn't have chapters and numbers. Those were not there. They were actually inserted there later on by some Catholic scholars to help remember and to memorize sections of Scripture. Okay? And so that's where they came in. They were not in the original text, but they're there for us to kind of to remember chapter 1, verse 4, John chapter 3, verse 16. But that's not the original text. Anyways, there was a slight pause in the Greek between verses 10 and 11, where Paul, out of an overflow of the abundance of revelation, he began to give praise to God. Now listen to this. This overflow of revelation from Paul came while he was under house arrest. I don't know about you, but I think it would be difficult to get alone with God when someone is chained to you. Amen? You know, I mean, sometimes I find it hard to go into a prayer closet. How many of you watch War Room? It's a good movie. I mean, it's a good place to set apart a place in the house to get alone with God. But can you imagine? Paul couldn't go into a closet because that Roman official was with him, chained to him. I mean, he couldn't even go into the bathroom alone. I mean, that's tough, isn't it? But that didn't stop Paul. It didn't hinder his relationship with God. He loved God so much that he didn't let that bother him. He sought the face of God. I wonder, I mean, I really do. It doesn't say it anywhere in the book of Acts. We don't find it. But I wonder how those Roman officials that were chained to him were impacted by Paul's life. I wonder if some of those got saved because of the fact that they watched this man. They watched him pray. They watched him minister. I mean, people could come in and out of the hired house that he was in, and Paul could preach and teach the gospel. So that Roman official was a captive audience. He heard everything that he told everyone. I mean, he probably saw him as he was writing the book of Ephesians. He probably, maybe even Paul, used him to, hey, read this part. Do you think it sounds pretty good? Probably, right? I mean, he's right next to him. Why not? But the abundance of revelation was coming out of Paul's life, and I'm sure it impacted even those Roman officials. Amen? It's beautiful. Don't ever think your life doesn't make an impact. When you're in love with Jesus, I don't care what we do, what kind of job we work at, where we go, who we're around. But when you're in love with God, there will be an overflow. And lives around you will be impacted by the gospel. Amen? And it's beautiful to think how that overflow is happening with Paul. Brother Gary, read verses 3 through 14 again. He read it last time, and then we'll begin to go into it. We didn't have a chance because last time I had to reiterate the truth of how we are in Christ. So, Brother Gary, read that again.
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, the Anointed One, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the earth, of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having redeemed us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood and forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace, wherein He hath abounded towards us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him, in whom we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own good will, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom we also, in whom ye also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom, after also you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory.
Praise the Lord. What a section that is. This is coming out of Paul's overflow of truth. He's excited to explain now to these Ephesians the truths of who they are in Christ. But as Paul wants to explain this to them, it comes from Paul's own understanding. Paul's relationship with Christ was so intimate that God, by the Holy Spirit, through the Holy Spirit, revealed to Paul the truths of who we are in Christ. The Apostle Paul was the one, as you read through his letters, and we'll talk about this later on in our sermon as well. God, through the Holy Spirit, had given to Paul such revelation that he was given insight to mysteries. I mean, things that had never been revealed, even to the prophets of the Old Testament, these things were given to Paul. And Paul's understanding of the gospel, the good news in Jesus Christ, would be relayed through Paul in his letters. And what Paul is doing here in Ephesians is overflowing with this revelation. You see, you as a child of God have a standing in Christ that is really beyond our comprehension at times. The thing that God has done for us through Christ has made us so acceptable in the sight of God that you stand before God, although being imperfect, you stand before God in Christ perfect. Although you and I have done amiss, we've done wrong, we have sinned. How many of you have done that before? We've done wrong, we've made mistakes, but in Christ you stand before God as if you have never sinned once. Do you understand that? This is the revelation of who we are in Christ Jesus. This is your standing. It's one of the most freeing things that we can understand. It's actually sometimes even scary to think how an understanding of this can set people free, but we're sometimes afraid to relay this truth to the church because then we think they may just use this as a license to sin. But I'm here to tell you that if you love God, which is really the essence of why God did this, remember, it's to develop a relationship with God. That if we will love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, then we will live the gospel. Amen? Yeah. You see, it's going to come out of our relationship with God. And so it shouldn't be that we be afraid to relay the truth of our freedom in Christ with a fear that someone may try to take advantage of that grace and make it greasy, or try to use it as a license for sin, or to try to say, once saved, always saved. No. It all boils down to a relationship with God. It boils down to our love for God, and even, ultimately, to our fear of God. Amen. Amen. I'm not talking about being afraid that God's out to get us. No. I'm just saying having that godly respect for God as our loving Heavenly Father. When we were children and we had imperfect parents, but there was something in us, hopefully our parents tried to instill in us a fear of our own authority, our parents. Amen? And that's the same with our God. He loves you. You are His child. He cares for you. But He still is our authority. And we need to respect that. Amen. He's not our sugar daddy that we just go and get sugar all the time from. Amen. He's our Heavenly Father that's going to give us what's best for us. And at times, as Brother Jaime shared last time in his testimony, He'll even give us the desires of our hearts as we delight ourselves in Him. Amen. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3 begins this overflow of Paul. And within these verses, verse 3 through 14, we have an overflow of Paul's revelation concerning who we are in Christ, but what he wants to instill in the Ephesians. Now, we've said the last time, Paul's intent was not to have this book solely read to the Ephesians. It was intended to be more of a circular letter, one that was taken from church to church to be read to the church body all around Asia Minor and wherever the church existed. Amen. And so in verse 3, we find Paul bring out this overflow. Look what he says here. He says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." This is a praise to God. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Did you know that you have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus? If you do know this, say amen. Amen. Some of us may not fully comprehend it yet, but it's still the truth. Yeah. Remember last time we talked about the duck that was trying to pretend to be a dog. Remember that? And try as hard as that duck tried to be a dog, it was still a duck. In the same way, you are a child of God. And when we first get saved, a lot of the world is still with us. We still sometimes think like we used to think. But God begins to change us, doesn't He? And He begins to show us who we really are. And that's what Paul is doing here. And he's saying that God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Now notice where it is all found. It's not found in Center Assembly of God. Amen?
Amen.
It's not found in the Assemblies of God or any other denomination there is. Baptist, Episcopalian, Methodist, Baptist, or whatever else, right? It doesn't matter. All these spiritual blessings are found in Christ. Who is where? Where is Jesus now? In heaven. In heavenly places. Amen? Did you know that you, now it says later on, that you are seated right now positionally in Christ in heavenly places? You are in Christ. And where He is, you are. It's powerful, this understanding. But everything that Christ has obtained has been obtained for you. And you are able to access those benefits. Every spiritual blessing has been made available to you as a child of the living God. His royal blood is flowing through your veins. You are His child. Amen? And it says, just as He, verse 4, chose us in Him. Say, in Him. In Him before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before Him in love. This is a powerful verse. To be honest with you, this shows that there was a plan. A plan in the mind of God to save you before the world even ever was. Brother Gary was bringing out the reality of two different aspects of the creation of God's world. I don't know if you guys remember that. But he was bringing out the fact of the world having two different episodes. And sometimes it's hard for us to comprehend this. The reason why is because the scripture is not about how God dealt with a pre-time. The Bible is about you and me and God's creation since the creation of man. But there is believed to be, and I want you just to hear me with your spiritual ear. Hear what I'm saying here. In regards to the creation of this world, there are different theories as to how this world was created as in regards to how long it's been here. Number one, there is what is known as the young earth theory, that the earth is literally only about 6,000 years or so long. That in Genesis chapter 1 verse 1, when God, as the scripture says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, that was the point in time that everything was created, and from that point until now, all that has been done within 6,000 years. The second theory is known as the age day theory, that the days were longer than 24 hours a day as we know them today, and that more took place within a day than we really realize. I'm here to tell you, I believe in a God that's strong enough to do powerful things in 24 hours. Amen? How many of you know that God can do that? But there's also what is known as a theory called a gap theory. And Brother Gary hinted on this the last time, or the time before last, while we were away in Texas. The gap theory is a theory that is believed to be a time gap between Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 1 verse 1 and verse 2. Then the very beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth, He created it perfect, as God always does. But you will notice in Genesis chapter 1 verse 2, the earth was without form and void. It was kind of messed up. And sometimes some have questioned, why was the earth in such chaos? It's believed by some, and just hear me out here, just to give out what the theory is. Now you can choose whichever theory you like. It's not going to determine your salvation. Amen. Hear what I'm saying here. But let me just reiterate the theory here in regards to the foundation of the world. The gap theory is believed to be a time that before God created humanity, that God had created a kind of civilization prior to humanity. Now, hear me, hang in there with me. Satan, Lucifer, originally was created to be a perfect angel, wasn't he? And he, being perfect, was allowed to do things and served in capacities that we really don't know. The Bible is silent. But we do know that he was allowed to rule somewhere in the lower parts. And some believe that he was ruling in a pre-Adamic time. And it began to come into his heart, a pride, a rebellion in the heart of Lucifer, that he rebelled against God. Now remember, sin was found in him. And the Bible says that he came from the lower parts and tried to ascend to the highest parts, and he tried to become God. And in this rebellion, somehow, Lucifer convinced a third of the angelic host to rebel with him. And in this rebellion, God would eventually judge Lucifer. And Lucifer would become a fallen angel as well as the rest. And you'd have the whole reign, the whole dominion of fallen angels, which are still very active in our world today. Some say that this gap theory helps to account for the dinosaurs. Some say that there was actually more years to this earth than we can really ascertain with the 6,000 year young age theory. Be that as it may, whatever it may have been, God knew how everything would plan out or pan out, because God's Almighty God. God knows everything, doesn't He? And God, in His mind, had a plan since before the foundation of the world. Amen?
Amen.
Before the foundation of the world, right there, verse 4, it says, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, for what? To be holy and blameless before Him in love. somewhere, and we can't comprehend this, we don't understand this, you and I are limited in our understanding. But God, in eternity past, even though there's no such thing, God, before the foundation of the world, had a plan. And He knew that He would create man. He would create a perfect garden with perfect circumstances, a perfect environment. And He knew that God, or that man, would fall. And with this foreknowledge of God, God set a plan in motion, not for us to be saved by any other means, by doing good things or by trying to earn our way into heaven. But God had a plan since the very beginning to save fallen man through the avenue of His only begotten Son. It's really beyond our comprehension how this was in the mind of God before it ever happened. How God would place man in a perfect environment and yet man would fall. And yet God, before all of that, had a plan to save us in Christ. Amen. To make you, listen to what I'm saying here, He's made you to be holy and blameless before Him in love. That God had this desire for man, and man would walk with God in the cool of the day, as we find in Genesis. This relationship with God would develop, and it would become such a beautiful relationship that it would grow, it would increase, it would be something that was desirable. Did you know that God created you and me in the image of God? God made us in many ways like He is. God made you and me to desire fellowship. We are social beings. We like to have friends. We like to get together. We like to have fun together. Amen? We're social beings. You may ever wonder why Facebook is such a big deal nowadays? These are social media sites. Not that it's all good, but it's social nonetheless, right? People get together, they talk, they do whatever, they even like each other. Sometimes they even dislike each other. But it's all about social, getting along, talking, amen? And that's the way God is. God is a social being as well. Amen.
Amen.
You know, I think, you see that word there, God chose.
Yeah.
He chose. That means God had a choice.
Yeah.
Think about that. I mean, the Bible says that God says He'll do this and He'll do that, and He swears by His own reputation or by His own name that He'll do it because He answers to nobody.
Mm-hmm.
He answers to Himself. He chose to do that. And if you think about that, I mean, it's very humbling to me when you think that God knew me before, as it says Scripture, before I was conceived in my mother's womb.
Mm-hmm.
He knew before He even made this world that I would live here. He also knew that I would sin.
Mm-hmm.
He also knew that I'd come short of His glory.
Mm-hmm.
He still chose to love me. He
yeah.
still chose to make a way
mm-hmm.
that I could be. You know, so when you sit there and think, well, we have free will to live any way we want, you think, well, that's the stupidest thing in the world. I mean, why did you do that for?
Mm-hmm.
Because a God who is absolutely holy and without fault and without sin, who chose, instead of destroying us, instead of just, you know, I mean, He could speak you into and out of existence, just like He did this world. And He chose not to do that because He loved you.
Exactly.
I mean, how could you not want to live for a God like that?
Mm-hmm.
Do your level best to. You know, why would you want to walk all over grace
mm-hmm.
and what Jesus done for you? When he chose ahead of time,
mm-hmm.
knowing all the stuff about you, but He still made a way. It's humbling.
It is. And it's really beautiful because it shows God's love, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It's just like you said. It's like the latter part of that verse says, to be holy and blameless before Him in love. Our God is love, isn't He?
Yes.
And think about it. The Bible even says in Romans that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I don't think at times we fully comprehend the love of God towards us the way we really should. That before the foundation of the world, God had a plan for you to be acceptable in His sight through His Son. Why? So He can love you. So that He can enjoy you. And so that you can love Him. and so that you can enjoy Him. It's all about relationship, isn't it? You see, God in His holiness would not be able to have a relationship with us because we're unrighteous, we're unholy in and of ourselves. But God had a plan through His Son to redeem you and me and to make us righteous in His sight, so much so that God can have a relationship with us 24/7. Amen. 24/7. You know the Holy Spirit came into your heart when you accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior? And He comes to make His home in our hearts. God's Holy Spirit, God, the Holy Ghost, He is God. And He makes His residence within our hearts. And the reason why is because you, through Christ, have been made to be a holy temple. Amen? And the Holy Spirit doesn't leave when you have a bad day. Aren't you thankful for that? He doesn't leave when we've tripped up and we have sinned in our weakness. Amen. He's there because you have a standing in Christ. You see, your conditions are always changing, but your position in Christ does not. Amen. Now listen to what I'm saying here. Your position can only change if you choose to want it to change. I'm talking about your free will is still that powerful. You can still walk out on God if you so desire. I don't know anyone that would want to do that foolishness unless they've been deceived by the deceiver somehow. But God has given us a powerful free will, and you can still choose to walk out. Amen. Let's continue on. It says, He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless. Now look at this. He's not saying has chosen you to strive to be holy in your strength. It's to be holy and blameless before Him in love. Verse 5 says, He predestined us to the adoption as sons to Himself through Jesus Christ according to the good pleasure of His will. You're not able to be a son of God except through Christ. But when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you've become a child of the living God. And God predestined it so that the only way that a person could become a true child of God would be through the means of Christ Jesus and Christ Jesus alone. And that was God's plan in the beginning, that He would have a people that would be His own, but would all be through the avenue of His Son, Jesus Christ. Understand that. That means that a person can't become a child of God through every other religion that is out there. Did you know that? There's only one way to be a true child of God, and that's through Christ. But I thought, Pastor James, that all of us were sons of God. I thought we were all sons of God. Well, in one sense, we are. God created Adam and Eve, and God called him a son of God. We are created in the image of God, as sons of God, so to say. But listen to this. When Adam and Eve sinned in the very beginning, they gave their allegiance to Satan in their disobedience to God. And it broke the heart of God. You've got to understand that. It broke God's heart. So that now a child, an individual that lives outside of Christ is now a child of Satan. Jesus mentioned that, didn't He, in the Gospels? He called those your father the devil. That's right. He was talking to some of those that seemed to be so religious. I mean, they were Pharisees. I mean, they memorized the law. They were in the synagogues. They were praying in the open. And yet their hearts weren't in it. Jesus said, well, did the prophet speak of you? You draw near to me with your lips, but your heart is far from me. Amen. Did you understand that? And He said, your father's the devil. Every person that isn't born again has a father. Do you understand that? You're either a child of God or a child of the devil. Now, it wasn't originally so. Everyone was originally created to be a son of God. Created to be even in a greater position than that of the angels. The Bible says, how are you so desirous towards man? You created him a little lower than... And in your Bible it says the angels, but it shouldn't have been translated that way. It says a little lower than Elohim, a little lower than God. But when man fell, they fell a few rungs down. So that now we're at a lower sphere, so to say. But let me tell you something else. That in Christ Jesus, you've been brought back up to a whole new place in Christ Jesus, whether you realize it or not.
Pastor, remember it says, and I don't remember where, but it says that now we see in a mirror darkly.
Yeah.
We can't see ourselves as we were created.
Mm-hmm.
We were created, I believe, not with blood flowing through our veins, but the glory of God flowing through us.
Mm-hmm.
The old rabbis talked about man being a speaking spirit.
Yeah.
And that was how it was translated in the Word. That we were created as speaking spirits. God is spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And we were created in His image. So we are a spirit, and we have a soul, and we live in this earth suit,
mm-hmm.
this body. But speaking, remember when God had His creative zenith, when He was creating the universe, He spoke it
mm-hmm.
into existence. He created us to be creative.
Mm-hmm.
Spirits. Can you imagine, though, that if we could use... We use this... Einstein never used 10% of his brain power.
Mm-hmm.
He couldn't.
Yep.
We don't. I bet I only use 4. but still, if we could use our entire brain as God created us to be, and someday we will be there,
yeah.
for we will be like Him,
yep.
that we would create things... And we would create havoc because we bowed our knee to a fallen angel in the Garden of mm-hmm. Eden there.
Yeah.
But someday we will use all of our brain. We will yeah. be the creative creature, that spirit that God created us to be. And that's fantastic.
I can't
imagine. I can only see darkly now.
Yeah. It says it clearly. We can only see through a dark glass. Dimly, or how it says, we
yeah,
can hardly see it.
1 Corinthians 13:12. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known.
It's powerful. Think about this in regards to what Brother Gary just brought out in the scripture we just read. Adam and Eve were created to... See, their mental capacity was not the 10% that we just mentioned with Einstein. Their mental capacity and their ability was 100%. So think about the wisdom, the ability of man originally. And when they disobeyed God, they disobeyed with all of that understanding. You follow what I'm saying here? They didn't disobey as you and I, you know, we are. I mean, the curse has affected us in such a way that we really don't function in the full capacity that we really could. But as has been mentioned, in Christ, you've been brought to a new plane. And your mind can be renewed in Christ Jesus, that you can grow in revelation and knowledge. You will grow. You'll not go to that 100% level until we exchange this mortal body for an immortal one. And it's true, this body now functions on blood. It does work that way. But when we exchange this mortal body for an immortal one, it's not going to be functioning by blood anymore, but by spirit. And that's going to be a capacity, an arena of comprehension, abilities that we don't even begin to imagine that we will have as a child of God in the future. When the rapture of the church takes place, that divine exchange is going to be so powerful that our minds really can't even begin to comprehend what that is going to be like. It's going to be powerful. And it's all because of what Jesus did for you on the cross. And because you have said yes to Jesus. Amen? This is available to whosoever will. Anyone can be saved. God made it all possible for anyone to be saved through His Son. But what they have to do is receive Him by faith. Amen?
Amen.
The Bible says in John chapter 1, verse 12, I think it is, or verse 9, well, I think it's 12. It says, to as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become sons of the living God. Think about it. It's not enough just to believe and say, oh, I believe God exists, because He does. I mean, there's enough out there to show us He does exist. But listen to what I'm telling you. Just to believe is not enough. We've got to receive that work of God in our own hearts and lives. Amen? Verse 4 again says, He's chose us before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless. He predestined us through this plan of God to the adoption as sons to Himself through Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of His will. Did you know that God did this because He had a heart for you in it all? It's good pleasure. God didn't do this because there's hate or animosity towards you or towards anyone. God loves people. Amen? But then verse 6 says, why? To the praise of His glory. To the praise of the glory of His grace, which He has graciously bestowed on us in the Beloved. You are in the Beloved. It's a position, and God's grace has been bestowed upon you. God's grace, the definition of grace is unmerited favor. That's one of the definitions. There's another definition to it too, and it's the divine influence upon the heart and the reflection upon the life. Isn't that powerful? God's grace. We don't deserve God's favor, but He gives it to us because He loves us. And we are in Christ so we can enjoy and bask in the love of God. Amen? But that love of God and that grace of God in our hearts is going to influence our hearts. And it's going to be reflected in our lives. Amen? It's the divine influence upon the heart, the reflection in the life. And it's all upon us because we are in the Beloved. You see, Paul is talking again about position. Let me just relay this to you real fast. There's two ways to look at this. One is called position and condition. You have a position in Christ being washed in the blood, bought by the blood, cleansed by the blood. You all follow what I'm saying? Your position in Christ is that you are a child of God. You are holy. You are a saint. That's how God sees you. Because He sees you in His Son. You are in the Beloved. The Bible says that we have put on Christ. That's who you are. It's your position. But there's also your conditions. And that's what you and I see in the daily grind. That's the bad days. We've all had them, right? We woke up on the wrong side of the bed and it seems like everything's going wrong and our attitude's got the best of us. And boy, does the devil want us to focus on our conditions. Because they're changing, you're growing, you're being transformed in the likeness of Christ. But God even uses conditions to do it. Amen. And sometimes when He's developing us, we make mistakes. But Lord willing, through those mistakes, we're growing. Amen.
Amen.
So your conditions are always going to change. Your emotions are on the side of your conditions. Some days you feel good. Some days you don't. That doesn't mean you've done wrong. Just your feelings are your feelings. Your emotions are your emotions. But you don't depend on God through your emotions. Amen? It's also known this way as your state and your standing. Your standing is in Christ. You are perfected in Christ.
Amen.
You are holy in Him. Justified. You have a position that can't be changed in Christ. Amen? That's your standing. But then there's your state. You're growing. You're learning. You're being transformed in the likeness of Christ. Amen? And so that's important for us to understand as well. But what Paul is zeroing in on is who you are in your standing.
Amen.
In your position. Amen?
Not by feelings, but by faith.
Exactly. Has nothing to do with your feelings. David Wilkerson, I mean, he was a godly evangelist. I remember one time he said to us there at the Bible school, he says, I don't feel saved until about 9 o'clock in the morning. You wake up in the morning, some people aren't morning people. Amen. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Sometimes we're married to the morning person and we're not the married person. You know what I mean? It's funny how that works. You know, we're always so opposite each other. But the feelings don't determine who we are. You know who you are by faith. So even though your feelings are saying you're not saved, don't worry about what your feelings are saying. Look at what the Bible says about you. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. It says again, to the praise of His glory, of His grace, which He graciously has bestowed on us in the Beloved. In Him we have redemption. It says there in verse 7, through His blood and the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Now remember, it's already been bestowed on us. Look at verse 8, which He lavished on us. He's bestowed and lavished His grace on us in all wisdom and insight. When it talks about redeemed here, it says, in whom we have redemption through His blood and the forgiveness of sins. It's talking about what an act that God did through the blood of Jesus Christ for you. And it gives the picture, and you got to put your mind into the days of the Bible, or the days when there were slaves. Now, there are some places in our world even today that slavery still does exist. But maybe not to the extent that we once knew it. The gospel has begun to spread the world and freedom has been the result. But the reality of this is this. Redemption is a term that describes a person that was once a slave, but has been purchased by another master to become his own. You and I at one time, before Christ, were slaves to sin and the devil. Did you know that? But God, through Jesus Christ, has redeemed us. He's paid a price for you and me to be saved. And not only to be saved, but to have all of our sins forgiven. Praise the Lord. Colossians says all the handwriting that was against us was nailed to the tree or to the cross. Amen? He's redeemed us. One of the definitions is that we have been purchased by paying a price. But this definition also has with it another definition, and it is this. Is that you have been redeemed to be set free. Amen. You don't have to be bound by sin any longer. You don't have to live in sin anymore. He has set you free. It doesn't make sense to us because we're so used to living in bondage that we don't know how to live outside of that bondage. But He has set you free in Christ to live above that bondage so that you can be free from here on out. He has saved you to be free. Not bound by things or bound by this world or bound by sin. Freedom is in Christ. Some of you can say amen to that.
Amen.
You can be free. But let me say it better. If you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are free. We just need to know how to live in that freedom. Amen. Let me explain it by saying this. In American history, there was slavery, and we all know that. It's very much a part of our history as Americans and America itself. President Lincoln was the president that was the one that brought out what was known as the Emancipation Proclamation. The Emancipation Proclamation was a proclamation that literally declared slavery dead. And when that proclamation was given by Abraham Lincoln many, many years ago, the slave was now set free from his slave owner. But many of the slaves lived in that bondage that they didn't know how to live apart from that. Can you imagine? They were in slavery from children to their adult years, and all of a sudden, slavery was declared dead. And so it was difficult at first for those slaves to begin to walk out on their old slave owners and masters because they didn't know any better. But before you knew it, it began to hit them and began to become an understanding in their minds. I am free. And people began to walk out on their old slave masters and began to live in freedom. But there were some that didn't know how to do it any better. And so they remained slaves because they That was their, they were used to it. In the same way, you as a child of God have been set free. You have been redeemed. Let's read it again here in black and white. Ephesians chapter 7. In Him. I want you to say in Him.
Amen.
Who is this Him here? Jesus Christ. In Him we have redemption. Freedom. You have redemption through His blood. And the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. You have been set free. But we need to pray, God, help me to live in this freedom. Remember, we're still sometimes like ducks acting and pretending to be dogs. But we need to learn to be the ducks that we really are. You're a child of God and we need to live like we really are. But we don't know sometimes how to take those steps. That's why Paul is overflowing with such revelation. Amen? He wants to bring us to the understanding of our standing. The devil will try to get you to look away from who you are to your conditions that are always changing, the mistakes that we always make. But we need to see ourselves the way God sees us, and it is freeing to live that way as a child of God. Amen? You are redeemed through the blood of Jesus Christ, and you have been forgiven. Say amen to that.
Amen.
Amen. Well, we'll stop right there at verse 7. We'll continue with verse 8 next time because, well, we finished verse 8 as well. He's lavished on us His grace and all wisdom and insight. And He wants to give us wisdom. He wants to give us insight. He said, I'll give it to you liberally. Amen. And so this book is powerful. And we'll pick up with verse 9 next time. The clock really does its thing when we're having fun. Amen. And so let's pray. Lord, I pray that all that we have talked about today will truly find place within our hearts and within our spirit. That, Lord, we would understand the truths of Your Word and that it would develop within our hearts in such a way that, Lord, we would grow in our understanding, that we would grow in our freedom. That, Lord, we won't be manipulated by our flesh or by our feelings. That, Lord, when the enemy comes to lie and say that we're not good enough or that God has rejected us, that we will understand that You who have never rejected us but have accepted us. That, Lord, we are a people that are Your children that You will never reject, that You love, that You have thrown and poured out Your grace upon lavishly. That, Lord, You're developing us to be a people that will shine forth Your glory in this world today. And so help us to grow in this understanding. I pray, Lord, if some of this just doesn't make sense, I pray that You, by Your Holy Spirit, will make it very real in our hearts and our lives. And so we thank You for all that You're doing, and we ask that You would be glorified in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Well, God bless you all. Go ahead and go around and greet one another.